ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंटो 3 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 29 ऑलरेडी स्टार्टेड ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्री भगवान उवाच मा वेद गर्भगास्तंद्रीम सर्ग उद्यमम आवह तन्मया पादितं ह्यग्रे यन्मां प्रार्थयते भवान् श्रीभगवान् उवाच मा वेदगर्भगास्तान्द्रीम् सर्ग उद्यमम् आवह तन्मया पादितं ह्यग्रे यन्मां प्रार्थयते भवान् Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Purport: Any person authorized by either the Lord or his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord, and thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ma Veda Garbha Gas Tandrim Sarga Udyamam Avaha Tanmaya Paditang Hyagre Yanmang Prathayate Bhavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. The Supreme Personality of Godhead here assures Brahma that the task with which Brahma has been entrusted, it can be done. Brahma has a very responsible position as the creator, the engineer of the universe. And Brahma was wondering, how can I, it's a big job. Very responsible job. Not just putting everything in place, but overseeing everything, seeing that everyone gets their right position according to their karmic reactions. Of course, that's done in tandem with the Supreme Lord, but orchestrating everything, I mean, huge job. Even though Brahma is very intelligent and very capable, he demonstrated his intelligence, or his intelligence became manifest by recognizing that he was unable to do it without the help of the Supreme Lord. Individually, he couldn't do it. And the Supreme Lord is assuring him, don't worry, to you it seems like a very big and difficult thing, but anyway, it's been done so many times. To you it seems like it's the first time, but it's been done so many times. There's nothing new that anyone has to do. Whatever anyone does has been done before. All this idea of scientists inventing things, they think they're inventing something new. It's all been done before. There's nothing new. It's the scientist's intelligence that comes from Krishna. He doesn't recognize that. Brahma recognizes it. So the Supreme Lord says to Brahma, don't be depressed. You can do it. I will help you. And Brahma was able to create the universe. So if you're feeling challenged, I have such a difficult job to run oversee a center of ISKCON or to build a temple. Yeah, well, according to our capacity, it seems like a very big and difficult job. To Brahma, he practically doesn't even have to think about it. It's like for you and me to scratch our cheek. We don't even think about it. You just do it, that's all. Of course, if you get your hand paralyzed, then you realize that you can't even do that without the power that the Supreme Lord awards to the body in which you are presently incarcerated. But what seems to have a very big task to one person is very easy for someone else. So one person has a difficult job to maintain a family, and someone else is maintaining a whole kingdom and seems to do it very easily. So different people have different capacities. Not everyone that's appointed as Brahma is not a position won on the lottery. One has to be sufficiently qualified, highly qualified, but even then he has to pray to the Supreme Lord for empowerment to do the task, and the Lord empowers him, and he faces obstacles as he goes along, but still he's able to execute the task by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And time to time the Supreme Lord will guide him, so time to time Brahma will come to see Sri Vishnu for some advice, asking for some help. He's always ready to give that. So in the same way, a very much smaller way, those of you who are here, who are leaders in various capacities within the present Krishna Conscious Movement, you, all of us, we have to execute very responsible tasks. In one sense, more important than what Brahma does. Because Brahma, he makes the arrangement wherein everyone can live in this material world. The ultimate purpose of the creation is to revive one's Krishna consciousness. So Brahma makes the facility for that. And those who are leaders in Krishna consciousness, they also are supposed to be making the facilities by which people can come to Krishna consciousness, take up Krishna consciousness, but it's much more direct than that of Brahma. Of course, Brahma is also the head of our Vaishnava Sampradaya, but in this context, in the verse which we just read from Srimad Bhagavatam, he's being addressed by Bhagavan Narayana in the capacity for which he's best known within this world, that by which the very function of being Brahma is fulfilled, to be the creator within the universe. So he has another function, which is to be a Vaishnava Acharya, the head of our Sampradaya. But it's not on that basis that he's being addressed here. So everyone has, in the human form of life, everyone has responsibility. Minimally, one's responsibility at the very lowest level is to act according to dharma. Dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. If one gets the human form of life but doesn't practice dharma, then he's not really a human anyway. So that's the minimum, which means to act according to one's position within varnashram. At least one can be called a human if one does that, but the real responsibility of human life is to act in such a way that one doesn't take birth again, and then going up even further, the real responsibility is to revive one's Krishna consciousness, act in such, but that's the ultimate. Krishna himself emphasizes the responsibility of human life to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Ladva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavante manusham arthatam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetana patedanumritta yava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Having attained this very rare human form of life, which is temporary but very valuable, one should utilize it in such a way, before one dies, obviously, but anyway, Krishna says it in this verse because most people, just to emphasize, because people may think, well, I'll do it later, but this human form of life, it's short, it's going to end soon. So before you die, do whatever you have to do so you don't re-enter the cycle of birth and death. And don't waste your time with sense gratification, which is available in all the other species of life. So that's the that is the responsibility of human life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this process of chanting Bhagavad Bhakti, centered on chanting the holy names of the Lord, as the process by which we can be free from birth and death, as a side effect of reviving our dormant Krishna consciousness. That which is considered the most important thing in the human form of life is just a side effect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of pure devotion to Krishna based on the process of chanting the holy names and the whole process of pure devotion as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, who then enunciated that process in his monumental Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the book by the name. The book is an invitation to come and swim and live in the ocean of the nectar, nectar mellows of pure devotional service. So So you are gathered as leaders with the very responsible task of first of all being Krishna conscious, janma sartha kari karo para upaka, and then performing activities for the benefit of others, which clearly means giving Krishna consciousness. If we just say janma sartha kari karo para upaka, it could be understood to mean make a lot of money, sa'arthak, make a, artha means money, and then do charitable works. It could be taken like that, but it's specifically with, this is specifically spoken by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the context of Krishna consciousness, so the context of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of giving Krishna consciousness to others. So clearly, this should not be separated from its context, just like Srila Prabhupada in one article which he wrote before he came to the West, he criticized this Dr. Radha Krishnan for quoting this verse, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam, in the context of worldly behavior, doing good to others. And Prabhupada said, it's clearly it's from the Sattvata Sanghita, it's from a Vaishnav text, it's in the context of Krishna consciousness, not anything else. So doing good for others means to give Krishna consciousness, and give Krishna consciousness means one has to take the mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming down in disciplic succession and pass that on to others. So this is a leaders meeting coming up. Leadership involves management, and there are so many management courses and techniques and seminars, and so now I'm going to give some management advice, best management advice for leaders in Krishna consciousness, is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's not a joke. It's the best advice. Chant and dance in kirtan. It's a great management technique. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter that the leaders, they should see that all the devotees, they rise early, they're chanting minimum 16 rounds, following the four regulated principles, and are fully engaged in service all day. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you do this, then management will be at your fingers' end. It'll be an easy. Because the devotees, they'll be Krishna conscious. So in kirtan, one should be in kirtan with not just the body, but with mind, heart, and soul. Just as Brahma was feeling a heavy weight, oh, got all this creation, it's all on me. What a heavy task. So those who are leaders or managers or in Krishna consciousness, you have so many tasks, so many responsibilities, so many burdens on their mind. In kirtan, forget it. Just forget it. Just chant Hare Krishna. Remember, as Krishna says to Brahma, it's all right, it's all been done before. So, whatever heavy thing is there, anyway, like everything in this world, it's been done, it's going on now, it will be finished. All the problems, tasks I have to do, responsibilities, whatever I'm feeling is a source of depression or anxiety now, that will pass away in course of time. But my relationship with Krishna, calling out to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. That is eternal. So kirtan means joining with all the devotees to jointly reaffirm and rejoice in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So, whatever burdens are there, just forget in kirtan. In japa also, during japa, chant the holy names, pray to Krishna. There is an anecdote which my godbrother Tejas Prabhu told, that himself, Hansadutta Swami and Mahamsa Swami were three jointly put in charge for the Hyderabad farm project. And they couldn't get along with each other at all. And they're always quarreling, and whatever idea one had, another didn't have. But anyway, Prabhupada told them to cooperate. And there were so many difficulties and this and that. So it just so happened that one morning they all came to Prabhupada's room at the same time to tell Prabhupada about all their difficulties and complain about the others. They all came at the same time by chance. Well, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart. They all arranged at the same time. They all went in at the same time. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting, chanting japa, with his eyes closed, just with his head turning a bit. And you could hear the beads moving. And he was obviously just relishing chanting the holy names. And it seemed he hadn't noticed that anyone had come in the room. And then the three devotees, they also put their hands in their bead bag and started chanting. And then Prabhupada opened his eyes and saw them. And there was nothing more for them to say. Jai Shakal Bipul Bhakti Vinod Balin Jokon Onam Gai. All difficulties, dangers, everything goes away when we chant those names. Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobai. So, management advice. Dancing kirtan, that's the first thing. Start the day every day. Of course, you may chant some rounds before Mangalati, but start every day with a celebration. The demons, they tend to celebrate at night when the day is over, and then they, in the Western world especially, then they go and drink and eat all kinds of things which we won't discuss here. And that's their time for celebration. But devotees start off every day celebrating. That the same thing every day, chanting, dancing. And that, if the leaders themselves are inspired to chant and dance, then everyone else will be inspired to chant and dance. And if they're deliberately on standing in the corner avoiding, then you have to get them out and pull them in also. And then all the problems will go away. Whatever problem. Of course, that doesn't mean that if you have some big debt to pay and you don't know how you're going to pay, it doesn't mean that this Lakshmi, we see the pictures of people worshipping Lakshmi with their hands open and gold coins are falling down. It might happen, but we don't generally expect that gold coins will rain from the sky. But even if they don't, Then you go on chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. Then everyone will be happy and their anxieties will vanish. And management will be at your fingers' tip, and it'll be a pleasure, not just a great, oh no, I've got this problem and that problem. It'll be everything in Krishna consciousness is a pleasure. Of course, management can be taxing. A phrase Srila Prabhupada often used, tax your brain. He often used this phrase, especially in his letters. He would write, you have to tax your brains, how to increase the book distribution. So you have to do some work, hard work with the brain. So it's not that everything becomes so easy. There's one kind of transcendental management which is not really transcendental. It's not really in the spirit of ma manusmara yudhya cha. It's more, think of me and fight, Krishna told Arjuna. The essence of Bhagavad Gita is to always think of Krishna, but Krishna told Arjuna, think of me and fight. So sometimes we see managers who they only chant Hare Krishna, and they think, we'll do that and everything will be all right, but then everything becomes chaotic. So you have to chant Hare Krishna and see that the bills are paid, see that the devotees' basic needs are met, basic physical needs are met, see that the whatever legal requirements are fulfilled, and so on and so on and so on. So, both sides. When Srila Prabhupada, he asked Giriraj, Brahmachari at the time, shortly before Prabhupada left this world, he asked him, how will this movement go on after I leave? And Giriraj said, well, by sincerity, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, sincerity, yes, and intelligence also. So chant Hare Krishna, be blissful, be happy, then everyone will want to be happy like you. But don't, obviously, one... It's not to neglect one's duties. Brahma, Krishna said to Brahma, don't worry, it's going to be okay. But he didn't say that all your responsibility is, you're now absolved of that. No, you have to go on. It's a heavy task. But don't worry, Krishna's there to help you. As I recently heard one hadith of Muhammad, Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him. You have to say that, otherwise they might cut your head off. You go to pray, but don't forget to tie up your camel before you pray. So, okay, you're going in the desert and it's time for namaz. So, okay, get off the camel, but remember to tie up the camel. You know, be sensible. Otherwise, the camel will wander off. So you have to be tuned into this world also. If we, so I spoke about kirtan leaders. They should be, actually Srila Prabhupada said that leaders should lead by hearing and chanting. That's a paraphrase from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Satsarup Das Goswami, who used to repeat it like that. That leader means leader in hearing and chanting. So we have this Shravan Kirtan camp coming up. So I spoke about Kirtan. Before Kirtan, there has to be Shravan, or Kirtan cannot be complete without Shravan. So leaders, they probably do more Kirtan than others in the form of speaking topics of Krishna, because leader doesn't just mean managing, organizing, but also leading others toward Krishna and guiding them. So preaching to devotees, both formally in classes and informally. So you do a lot of kirtan in that way also. But shravan, that's also essential to hear, and especially as most of you here are my disciples, the shravan kirtan camps are for you to come and hear. I see my role as a teacher. That's the disciplic way that one should hear from his guru. And then dakshina jnana sandeshaha. Dakshina, the proper offering to the guru, is to instruct others in what one has learned from him. So the disciplic path, guru, disciple, then the disciple becomes a guru. So I have to teach. And naturally, many of you are involved in Gurukul, so you know that the teacher becomes very pleased if the students are willing and eager to hear and to learn. If they skip their classes, or they're not very interested, then teaching is, you yourself don't feel very inspired. So I can become inspired also if you like to come and hear at least time to time, because you have to be in your various preaching fields most of the time. But these Shravan Kirtan camps are a good opportunity for the devotees to come together and hear and chant together. Especially leaders, they're often in a situation where they have to, the very nature of being a leader is that one has to take a superior position to others. And in that way, one may not get much guidance or peer association. But coming together, chant and dance and be happy together, hear together. Probably when I come to your center, you're more busy than usual. But still, make a point to be in the class. Don't arrive late or get up in the middle or miss it altogether. Because if you miss it, then others will also think, well, anyway, it's not so important. If our leader doesn't have to hear, then we also don't have to hear. So it's important to hear and chant. And a leader means leads by example. Acharya, achinotiya shastrani, acharya. Achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmat acharyastena kirtita. Acharya means one who acts or knows the Vedic knowledge, acts according to it, and teaches others, specifically teaches by his example. So every leader is at some level an acharya, so one has to lead in hearing and chanting and responsible service. It's a great, great responsibility. Something I've said twice in the last few days, and I'll say it again, as many of you are not here, and anyway, it's good to say it again and again, is to keep Kali out. This movement is it's the antidote to Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel. Kali, the personality of Kali is Kalaha Priya, very fond of quarrel. quarrel arises when there's bad feeling between others. Krishna consciousness drives out Kali, because Krishna consciousness means Krishna prema, love of Krishna. When there's love of Krishna, there can't be bad feeling toward others. So the antidote for Kali Yuga is the Sankirtan movement. But Kali works very hard. Kali doesn't give up very easily. Kali manifests particularly where there is gold, where there is money. So we have to be very careful. In the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern age, money is a major consideration. We want lots of money. We want money for building temples, printing books, holding festivals, distributing prasadam. But Srila Prabhupada said that if we miss, or if we spend even one farthing, that's like one pie, for sense gratification, personal sense gratification, then we go to hell. If we're interested in money for its own sake, or for our own sake, seeing money not as Lakshmi to be offered in the service of Narayana, but seeing money as the perverse reflection, something for me to enjoy, the vehicle for my enjoyment. Instead of here, we're in Sri Rangam, where there's Sri and there's Ranga, Lakshmi and Ranganatha, the Lord of all enjoyment. So she is the medium to approach him. But if we think in another way, that Lakshmi is for me to enjoy, then I will be Ishvara, Ishvara Aham Aham Bhogi. Then that is the antithesis of the pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that we are meant to be leading others in, cultivating ourselves. So we have to be very, very careful to be in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness includes Lakshmi consciousness. Krishna means Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana. But if we want to, if we're not careful, if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we just see Lakshmi, we take a Durga, something for me to enjoy, and then all bad things come. All bad qualities come. All fall down comes. So we do want money in Krishna's service. But we don't want money for our own sense gratification. So if there is this idea comes, this is something for me to enjoy. Now I've preached very well, so I deserve to have some good facility. This is a wrong way of thinking. I raised so much money, I did so much collection, I'm overseeing so much money, so I should have some good facility. It may be that for some health reason, one needs to spend some money to make some good facilities so the body can go on well in serving Krishna. But if we think, I deserve this because I have done this, then one is not in Krishna consciousness. One is seeing oneself as the doer instead of as servant of Krishna. It may be that some facility is required for our service, so some money should be spent for that. But to show oneself or to think oneself as the enjoyer means all downfall is there. And then instead of inspiring others in selfless service to Krishna, the leader does that by his own example. Instead of inspiring others in which they will become completely blissful. That will be their actual benefit. Then if we ourselves are thinking, how I can enjoy myself, then they also start to think like that. We don't even have to tell, you don't have to tell them, hey, look, so much collection is there, just stick some in your pocket. You don't have to tell them. We can even talk about, we know how to talk the talk. Yes, give everything to Krishna. But if we're not living that, if we have a different motive, and to the extent that we have that motive, then others will also have it. And although the Krishna conscious activities may go on in a formal way, the aratis, the festivals, but it will all be contaminated by this attitude of what's in it for me personally. So practically those who are leading in Krishna consciousness, they have to be pure devotees. And they say, well, wait a minute, I got all this stuff from previous lives and this life and so many bad thoughts, attachments. Any way one can be a pure devotee, one's motives should be pure. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. We should discuss among ourselves, especially the leaders, how to be free of this Ishvaroham aham bhogi mentality, because it can very easily influence us. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Because that's how a leader has to take a superior position. And others have to reciprocate in that way, looking up to him as the controller, at least to some extent. So how can, it's a very difficult situation to be a leader, because one is meant to be a servant, servant of the servant. So sometimes we hear the term servant, leader. Sometimes the servant leader has to serve others by getting on their case and chastising them or being very heavy. Now, how to keep this egoism out, we should discuss, because it's very easy, just a little change of consciousness. We might not even notice it. And then the impurities enter. So be very careful with money. Don't keep any, or don't think that the money, what is that? Shokale Maliki Yadav, Madhav, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. The Kanaka Kamini, women and money, their owner is Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. We are not the owners. Even in family life, one has to remember, I am not the controller of this. The woman is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. In the position of a guru, the disciples are supposed to offer all facility, seeing as the representative of the Supreme Lord. Always has to remember, Idam Narayanaya Namama, everything is meant for him, nothing for me. Just as a representative, I have to accept that. Now, another point. In our management seminar here, leaders have to take so many decisions. all the time. Actually, everyone has to do. We may not think it, but actually we make decisions. Just like every morning, we make the decision to get up. We may do so almost mechanically, out of habit, but we could think, no, I won't get up. So everything we do, every single act we do, there are hundreds and thousands of other things we could do instead. We tend to act according to habit. But especially leaders, they have to make decisions that will affect others. And the very nature of a decision is, or the very nature of this world is, you don't know what effect it's going to have. This person is this devotee is again and again and again doing something that he shouldn't, again and again and again. I've warned him, what should I do now? Should I give him another chance? Or shout at him? Or tell him he can't live in the temple? Give him a final warning? You don't know what the result's going to be. That's a fairly common scenario. But there are all kinds of things that come up all the time, and one can't be sure how to react. And especially in dealing with people, you don't know exactly what their motive is, or if they're reliable. They say that they'll do something. Can you actually rely on them? Can you trust them? So leaders have to make decisions. Something that can help us in doing so is studying Shastra, specifically seeing how different great personalities in history made different decisions and what are the effects of them, good and bad. That's often the case in making a decision. It wouldn't be such a difficult or such a responsible task to be a leader if decision making was easy. Because generally there are pros and cons in any course of action. If you do something, then you can predict, although you can't be sure, that there'll be this, 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 and this good result. But there may be some bad result also. So, or if you do it another way, there may be other good results, but other bad results also. You can't be sure exactly, but you have to try and predict. So that's one of the major parts of being a leader, being able to make good decisions. But no one can be sure exactly what's going to happen. If one makes many mistakes, then he's not qualified as a leader, because that will adversely affect others. So we can look in Shastra and see how different people have decided in different ways and what have been the effect in that. From the Puranas and the Itihasas, we find stories of how people, mostly great personalities, have acted in the world. It means how they make decisions. The result sometimes is not good, just like Bharat Maharaj. When he rescued the fawn from the river in which it had fallen and the mother died, the mother deer died, he could have thought, okay, I took the fawn out of the river, now I shouldn't get entangled. He must have thought, there must have been some thought, but he took a decision, no, I'll look after it. And that was the cause of his downfall. Of course, he was ultimately protected by Krishna, but this anecdote is told to warn us not to, in the name of helping others, don't become materially attached to the extent that your whole Krishna consciousness can be lost or severely curtailed. decisions, so many decisions. Especially in Shastra we find Kshatriyas, they have to make many decisions. Leaders, Brahmanas are also leaders, so they have to make decisions. They advise the Kshatriyas. Rama, the Supreme Lord, is the exemplar of all Kshatriya kings. He was ordered to go to the forest. He accepted. There was some advice. Do a coup d'etat against your father. He's giving the wrong advice under the influence of Kekai. So you just take the kingdom by, take the throne by force. He wasn't interested. Then even his father also said, no, anyway, I withdraw that order. But Ram decided, no, I must do it. I've given my word to my father, and he's given his word. So even though the whole population of Ayodhya, with the exception of one person who is universally considered to be wicked, doesn't want Ram to go to the forest, he goes. For himself, he doesn't care. When he was told that tomorrow you'll be crowned, all right. When again he's told that no, it's not going to happen, you have to go to the forest, all right. On neither occasion did he showed great elation, nor did he show great distress. Whatever. Just I'm doing my duty, that's all. So he went to the forest. Now that had great consequences. Decisions have consequences. How did Ram act? He did the proper thing, even causing great distress to himself. And you could say it caused great distress to others also, but he wanted to demonstrate the higher principle of dharma, that one should do what one has to, one is bound by the laws of dharma. One should do that, even if the immediate consequence doesn't seem to be what we want, desirable, still we should do it. The higher principle, that what everyone wants, a higher principle is dharma. Here in Sri Rangam, Muslims attacked, 10,000 Brahmanas stood and had their heads chopped off. And that delayed the Muslims getting to the temple. So in the meantime, the Lord was taken away. It's not their dharma, so they'd rather be alive. But they could have gone on, so, but anyway, we have to protect the Lord in this way. But it's not their dharma to fight. They didn't resist. That's all. Kshatriya's duty is to protect. Kshatriyas, they themselves were defeated. So they did their duty. It's a horrible scene. I often think, wouldn't those Muslims, after killing a few of them, think that, why are we doing this? But they were very, these are peaceful, godly people. No such thought came in their mind. They thought, yes, this is Allah's work. And went on. 10,000. Killing one after the other. With no twinge of consciousness. So they made that decision. All right, they came to, all right, we'll all stand in the pathway. And their heads were chopped. That's not exactly in Shastra. That's in... apart from Shastra, there are also the lives of the great devotees. We were just discussing about, in a Gurukul discussion about reading Mahabharata stories. It's very good medium to educate others. But the lives of our great devotees, that's also most educational, how they lived. in Krishna consciousness. The life of Ramanuja is most exemplary and inspiring. So that could also be considered. You can teach the lives of our great devotees, how they've lived in the world and brought Krishna consciousness to others. So Ram decides to go to the forest. He can't be dissuaded. Sita also. She insists, I must go. Rama, he could have told her no, but she practically insisted, I must go. Then Ram decided to bring her. He could have decided, no, it's not proper that you should suffer. He said like that you're not fit for such austerity and harshness. Rama himself had had some practice living like that. Not some time, as he was on his... What happened, he was brought to the forest by Vishvamitra. So he had some practice of just lying down on the ground at night, taking whatever food is there. But Sita, the princess, is not meant for that. Women who live in the forest, that means tribal women, a very rough way of life. Sita is not meant for that. But anyway, she said, I have to be. And Rama accepted to bring her. Then the golden deer, Maricha took the form of a golden deer. Rama knew that this is not, there's something going on there. That this is not proper. He knew there was something up. But he decided, due to Sita's imprecation, he decided to go after the deer. Of course, this is all going on under Leela. But just I'm making the point, the decision, every time decision. You have to decide what to do. If Ram had not gone after the deer, that would have been perfect. Sita would have become very upset. She might never have understood why Ram didn't go. Because, oh, it's a nice golden deer, I want that. Why didn't you get it for me? She might never have understood, because then Maricha would have just run off to Ravana and said, didn't work. Try another plan. And then Ravana would have killed him. So Rama also pleased Maricha by killing him, because he's... After Ravana came to Maricha and said, you have to do this, you take the form of a golden deer, he thought, well, if I don't do it, you'll kill me. Better be killed by Ram than you, rascal. So if he hadn't been successful, then he would have been killed by Ravana. So he gave mercy to Maricha also. What to do? Sometimes it requires great intelligence. If one has great intelligence, he can make decisions in very tough situations. Ashwatthama, Arjuna had vowed to cut off his head and give it to Draupadi. So he brought Ashwatthama, bound up like an animal. And Draupadi said, well, don't cut off his head. But Bhima said, yeah, cut off his head. So what do you do? What's the win-win situation here? Cut off half his head, halfway, two strokes like this, or just cut it half the way through the neck. Sometimes people, they talk about a win-win situation, but in many situations, it's either one thing or the other. Either you eat or you fast. You can't do both. Well, you can. You can drink water. But that didn't satisfy Durvasa when Ambarish did that. So what to do? Then Krishna got a solution. Win-win situation. You cut off his top knot, which is it's sambhavitasya chakirti maranathati richati. It's by insulting him in that way, it's equivalent to cutting off his head. So one can be very shrewd in decision. Anyway, Karna, he was told by Kunti Devi, actually, you're my son. Krishna invited him, you come? Come and join the Pandavas. You'll be the king. He decided not to, due to his loyalty to Duryodhana. He made a decision. He could have been the king. But his loyalty to Duryodhana, that also included, along with that, came his animosity to Krishna and the Pandavas. So he decided, loyalty, I have to be loyal. Pradley didn't even think of the condition of loyalty. He was not at all inclined. No, my life is... Duryodhana made me what I am today. I was insulted in the Swayamvara of Draupadi, but Duryodhana made me a king, so I'll stick with him. He made a decision. He could have been the king. He could have been joined the Pandavas in their friendship with Krishna, but he made a decision. He died because of that. He was prepared for that. What a decision. Can you imagine? You just find out, after all this life of animosity toward Krishna and the Pandava, and then you just find out actually you're their brother. And on the spot you have to make a decision. Do I go with them? Or do I continue against them? He decided. Many times you don't have time to think, okay, let's sit down, make a committee. Many times you have to make a decision on the spot. The building is burning. Shall I run in and rescue the children? Quite likely I'll get killed myself. So they'll die and I'll die also. Or shall I just wait outside? You don't have time to think, to make a risk analysis. You either run in and save them or you don't. So what do leaders do? They have to pray to Krishna. Devotees have to pray to Krishna to guide my intelligence in the proper way. Always. And for that, we have to regularly hear and chant, so that we're in Krishna consciousness, in touch with the Supersoul. Paramatma Samahita. Krishna will give us proper intelligence. He may also guide us in a way which we can't understand. The effects seem to be not good, but everything we see as Krishna's lesson to us. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. And at 11:30, those who are coming for the leaders' meeting can please go to the place where I'm staying and we'll have the meeting there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Ranganatha Swami ki jai. Hare Krishna.